Legarius Sneed is a hell of a player. That's not my words. That's not your words. Those are his words. The newest member of the Tennessee Titans met with the media this week, and I think with that comment backed up with what a lot of people believe, certainly what the Titans front office and coaching staff believe, which is why they acquired him in a trade with the Kansas City Chiefs in the first place. But as we dive into this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast with our shortened bench now, I am David Beauclair of the Nashville Banner, joined by John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, how are you?
I'm well, David. How are you?
I am doing great. Legarius Sneed, you know, was the biggest news of the week last week, biggest news of the week this week. So let's get right to it. What was your impression of him after his first media session here in Middle Tennessee?
Yeah, I thought he was an interesting guy, and kind of what struck me most was the confidence level, but not in an over-the-top, overly vocal, you know, beat my chest, say memorable things kind of confident, just kind of like a matter-of-fact confidence, you know. And you mentioned that quote there when he was kind of giving a description, you know, of his own play, and you know, he's like, I'm a hell of a player, you know, I'm relentless, you know, I'm reliable, so on and so forth. And, you know, you just got the sense that he's a guy that isn't going to be a guy that pats himself on the back or toots his own horn a lot. It's just kind of a guy that says, here's my resume. You know, here's what I did. I shut down virtually every receiver in the league for the last year or two. That's why I feel like I'm the best guy in the league. And I think what also struck me too was, you know, and anybody can say this, but it certainly sounded very sincere, just his willingness to kind of do anything, you know, and he's done that in his years so far. You know, he's lined up at different spots, even when he talked about, you know, how he had to move in and play at the slot position at times, never having done that before. And he's like, okay, yep, sure, I'll do that. Just put me out on the field. You know, he's a guy who loves, he's not like one of those diva type cornerbacks who won't support the run, you know, who won't get after the passer if he's blitzing. He's the kind of guy that likes to get his hands dirty. So, you know, in getting one of the top cornerbacks in the league, he kind of struck me as a lunch pail kind of guy, you know, a guy who's not overly, you know, in love with himself, but just kind of a guy that goes out there, gets the job done, whatever needs to be done, he's gonna do it.
Yeah, you know, you talked about it last week, and his, you know, he had huge penalty numbers last year, but I think that also speaks to what you're talking about in that he's willing to commit a penalty and say, you know, it's just like giving up a pass, right? He just moves on to the next play. It seems like he's, you know, he's willing to do whatever he has to do. If the referees are going to throw a flag on him, that's fine. He's going to play physical. He's going to play aggressive. Sometimes I'm sure he, those penalties are a result of he got beat. He knew he got beat, so he grabbed the guy, give up, you know, maybe 15 yards, whatever the, you know, however far downfield you are, rather than let the guy get behind you and catch the ball and run for a touchdown. That's, you know, you hear all the time cornerbacks talking about how you have to have a short memory. And it's one of those things, it's kind of like automatic. It's drilled into you to say that in that position. But I don't know how many guys really truly live that and believe that. And, you know, you just look at Christian Fulton last season and how he got off to a bad start and it seemed to snowball on him. He never was able to build any sort of momentum and put any kind of struggles behind him, it looked like. So, you know, that sort of And you're right. Like Snead, it didn't feel like Snead was trying to convince himself at all of what he was saying. He was just he was just saying it. And I thought it was pretty interesting too when Rand Carthon was talking, and he talked about how in Snead and Awuzie, they have added now two guys who not only are proven NFL players, but they both play the same style. They fit the style that new defensive coordinator Denard Wilson wants to play. And it took me back. I think it was 2006, 2007, maybe, when the Titans cornerbacks were Pac-Man Jones and Rinaldo Hill, who both came in the same draft. Pac-Man, of course, was the first overall pick. Rinaldo Hill, I believe, was a seventh round pick. But I wrote an item one day about what a terrible situation then defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz was in, because in Pac-Man Jones, you had a guy who was a very good man-to-man cornerback, would get up on guys, get his hands on them, wrestle with them, could run with them, do all those sorts of things. And on the other side, you had Rinaldo Hill, who was a very good zone cornerback. He was a smart guy, was always in the right place at the right time. Not nearly as athletic, though. Couldn't run with guys, couldn't do those sorts of things. And I wrote this thing. I said, just imagine being Jim Schwartz, knowing that every single call you make, you're putting one of your starting cornerbacks in a bad situation. And the next day, walking, or maybe it was a day or two later, walking out on the practice field, Schwartz comes out of the locker room, and he's like, David. He's like, you have my office bugged. And I looked at him, because Schwartz was a guy who could get mad at things sometimes. You didn't know, you had to, you kind of had to. And I was thinking, what did I write that made him mad? I said, what are you talking about, Jimmy? He says, I'm serious. Do you have my office bugged? And I'm like, wait. He says, that thing you wrote about the cornerbacks. He said, we have that discussion every single day in meetings, And I thought that was really funny. And so I was taken back, in the very least, in Awuzie and Snead, they're not going to have that issue. These are two guys who I think it's pretty clear you're going to see a lot of man to man from these guys, and let them get up and get physical with the other team's receivers, and see what they can do with them. And it's certainly, John, we talked about it last week. This is a much more complete cornerback group than the Titans have had in quite some time.
Absolutely, because it has the domino effect of signing these two guys allows you to keep Roger McCreary in the slot position, which he had a certainly a good year at last year. Seems to be a better fit at slot, maybe because of his size. The other two guys are maybe a little bigger, a little bit more physical.
With longer
As you touched
arms.
with longer arms, all very, very important. Denard no longer here to chastise us for comments about longer arms, but and you're right. Rand did talk about how both of these guys are going to be important in the run game as well. We're used to hearing, obviously, in terms of setting the edge. We're used to hearing defensive ends or edge guys or outside linebackers being asked to set the edge, but Rand Carthon mentioned cornerbacks as part of the guys that need to set the edge as well. L'Jarius Sneed is not a small man for a corner. He's 6'1", 192 pounds. I asked him during his presser, I said, is run support something you take pride in? He said, yeah, it definitely is. He said, I love to get underneath those big guys. And you can tell, over the last 3 years, he's averaged 87 tackles over the last 3 years. Now, some cornerbacks, you see that number and you say, well, he was probably catching, grabbing a bunch of receivers after they caught the ball. That's how he piles up tackles. Well, we know that's not the case, especially the last 2 years. L'Jarius Sneed just hasn't given up a lot of receptions. So he's not making tackles against receivers who cut the ball. So a lot of those tackles are coming in the run game. If he gets if the Titans get those two corners, forcing play back inside, forcing it into guys like Jeffrey Simmons on the line, I think that's a big step up from last year.
Yeah, that's a really good point about the tackling numbers, and it's funny to me. I'm always a little wary, a little skeptical, if you will, when teams are willing to part with players who are seemingly really good. You're kind of like, okay, what's missing here? Why are the Chiefs willing to get rid of this guy who is clearly so good, coming off his best season in the NFL to date? It puts me of a mind like the 49ers teams of the 80s. I mean, eventually they moved on from Joe Montana, they moved on from Ronnie Lott, they moved on from all these guys, but in a lot of cases it seemed like the right time to do it. And I mentioned last week, they have a good young cornerback ready to sort of step up theoretically and take that role. But you think about the Chiefs moved on from Tyreek Hill couple years ago, and it doesn't look like Tyreek Hill has been in any kind of decline since then. So I think that's something that can put Titans fans' minds at ease. Like, the Chiefs are so good right now that they can give up a Tyreek Hill and keep winning, and so they probably figure they can move on from L'Jarius Sneed at this point in his career and keep doing what the Chiefs have been doing. So that is that'll bear watching. But certainly, I think people can feel a lot better about the secondary now than was the case at any point last season. And give the Titans credit. We talked about it going into this offseason. They had several areas that were huge areas of need. Cornerback and wide receiver were among them. It wasn't a case of, okay, let's try and plug these holes with a bunch of good players. It's let's get L'Jarius Sneed at cornerback. Let's pay big money for Calvin Ridley at wide receiver. And here you are now. We talked last week about the likelihood of Joe Alt now or one of the other offensive tackles being the Titans' first round draft pick, whether it's at number 7 or they make a move farther down. I mean, it's pretty clear offensive line is the biggest issue that remains for Rand Carthen and this staff. But as we're in April now, this is draft month. What other positions, John, do you think the Titans should be focused on? I mean, they don't have a ton of draft picks here. They have to make the picks they have this year count. So where should they be looking right now?
I think, I'm with you and probably 95% of the population in terms of that first round pick. It just makes too much sense not, or excuse me, that Joe Alt would be the pick. I mean, there's a glaring need at left tackle. The sack problem was horrendous last year. If Joe Alt is there, I just find it hard to imagine that they would move away from picking a guy who would solidify that spot, for who knows how long, 5, 10 years, whatever. But yeah, what I think adding guys like Ridley and Sneed has done is really changed the outlook on that second round pick now. Whereas receiver, at least in my mind, was probably going to be that number two pick because it's a pretty deep draft class in receivers, and the Titans were clearly going to need somebody besides DeAndre Hopkins. I would have thought they would go there. On the other hand, corner was also a situation where they clearly needed depth and another strong corner there, so I would have thought corner. Now that some of these needs, there aren't nearly as many needs now, but one that still strikes me as probably the most glaring still is on the defensive line. With the loss of Denico Autry, and some other guys as we talked about too over the last several months, whether it's Tyre Tarte or Naquan Jones, a few other names that have departed the Titans for one reason or another as well. Pretty thin, and now they did add Sebastian Joseph Day. Is it Joseph Day or Day Joseph? It is
Joseph
Joseph
Day,
Day,
yeah.
right? Okay.
Joseph Day, yes.
And I think he's underrated. I think he'll be a nice addition on that defensive line. A big man, strong against the run. But I still think that role of Denico Autry is something that needs to be fixed, and that is why I am thinking that's where the Titans go. And kind of doing my research for the draft and draft stories and so forth. The guy that keeps popping up to me is Darius Robinson from Missouri. 6'5", 285 guy, and it's interesting to me. If you described what Denico Autry was for the Titans, a tough guy, physical guy, a guy who could play all along the line, inside or outside, rush the passer on some downs, stop the run on other downs. That's kind of like, basically a scouting report for Darius Robinson from Missouri. He played his first for the better part of 3 or 4 years inside at Missouri. And then they moved him outside really for most of his final year, and that's where he really blossomed on the edge. He had 9 sacks in 2023, 26 quarterback hurries, 14 tackles for loss. Really had a tremendous year, and he's of that size too. Like again, very similar to Nico Autry, that you can move him around there as well. So he strikes me as really a perfect fit, and you look at the PFF numbers for him were very good as well, as an outside tackle guy last year. He was 84.1, I think overall his grade was 83.1 last year. So really good. He's a pretty good athlete too. He's not the fastest guy. But pretty good athlete, a 35-inch vertical as well, and really the analysts and scouts love about him, very physical, kind of a violent player, kind that gets the hands on you as an offensive lineman and can toss you around. And maybe what's best too. Another good thing about him is he's really only had that 1 year out on the edge and still came up with a 9 sacks. So he's still kind of one critique of him is. He's not the most refined pass rusher. Well, it's pretty understandable because he hasn't played there that much. But he's the kind of guy that seems strikes me as a lot of potential and a lot of what the Titans need now that Autry is in Houston.
I still look at the wide receiver group and say, okay, DeAndre Hopkins is 31 years old. He'll be 32 by the start of training camp. Calvin Ridley is 29 years old. And what else do the Titans have? You've got question marks and Treylon Burks and Kyle Phillips. You've got a good player in Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, but not a difference maker in any way, shape, or form. I think you need to start building a wide receiver group that you have been unable to build here the last couple of years. You think about the 2021 draft, Des Fitzpatrick in the third round, or excuse me, the fourth round, Racy McMath in the sixth. Neither one of those guys worked out. We mentioned. You go the next year, you take Burks in the first round and Phillips in the fifth, and there's still questions about those guys. AJ Brown from 2019, of course, is in Philadelphia now. I mean, you have to number one, you have to be younger at that position anyway, or you have to have some young talent in place, and you don't know if Burks is that guy at this point. And two, you want somebody at that position to sort of grow up with Will Levis and create that sort of long-lasting bond. I mean, we talked about it during the season. DeAndre Hopkins and Levis have sort of that big brother, little brother sort of dynamic going on where Hopkins is not afraid to tell Will Levis everything that he's doing wrong. I think ideally you want to get Levis sort of a best friend, if you will, as opposed to a big brother, and two guys that, like, you think about. We'll talk about the Chiefs again. You think about 2 years ago, was 3 years ago, maybe, in that playoff game, huge moment. Chiefs break the huddle. Travis Kelce looks at Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes gives him a nod, or Kelce says, "Hey, Patrick, I can do this." Mahomes gives him the nod, and they complete the pass. It's a huge play. I mean, I think you need to give Will Levis somebody who, they can grow up and try and form that kind of connection. And certainly the good news is there's plenty of wide receivers in this draft, as has been the case in recent years. The challenge is to find one. A guy who sort of caught my attention is Roman Wilson out of Michigan, a guy who one report I saw said in other years he might be one of the top five wide receivers on the board with the talent at the top end of the position group this year. He's not there, but he's not a huge guy at 6 foot 192, but 12 touchdown catches on 48 total receptions last season for Michigan. That's one of those things that tells me a lot about a guy. And some college wide receivers, they're so much better than the competition. They're going to get open all the time. They're going to have room to run. You're not going to be open. You're not going to be wide open in the NFL. You're not going to be wide open anywhere near the goal line. The fact that he was able to catch one out of every four touchdown or every one out of every four passes for a touchdown, tells you he's a guy who's getting things done in tight spaces. Even though he averaged at least 15 yards a reception each of his 3 years in college. So he's a guy who can stretch the field a little bit too, but that was just a name that sort of caught my attention as sort of maybe an interesting option there. But there will certainly be plenty as the Titans move through their draft board. As we mentioned, that'll happen later this month. It's been almost a year since Rand Carthen's first draft class, and as we look back, I guess, at that group, John, how good a group was it? How much confidence should that group inspire in Titans fans as they look forward to this year's draft?
It's a pretty solid group. So, a pretty decent first go around for Rand Carthen. I was looking today at PFF actually came out with their rankings of the rookie classes and so forth. And they had the Titans listed ninth overall for rookie classes. They had them in what they called tier three, which was what one impact player and some potentially good players. I would, say that there was more than one impact player for the Titans this year among the rookies. I mean, certainly, Peter Skoronski, when he takes over as the starting left guard, holds that position down all through the year. It was certainly an impact player, doing it while he was switching positions as well. But oh yeah, the guy Will Levis, who was your starting quarterback for 9 games, throws for 1,800 yards and 8 touchdowns. That's an impact player as well. Now, was he great? No. But I think certainly he showed flashes. We saw a good player. And I think what's interesting too about Will Levis as we look ahead too is that, even as a rookie, he was never scared. He was never cautious. He wasn't the kind of quarterback that was, a game manager, if you will, a guy that was constantly checking down. He's a guy that liked to throw downfield. He liked to take some chances. He had a great arm and he liked to use it. And he was pretty successful in doing so. So I think that is gonna bode well. He's obviously gonna have a better receiving core going forward, and B, you would assume the offensive line will be better. Certainly Lloyd Cushenberry, is an upgrade, and we figure the left tackle is coming in the draft as well. So, and Tajae Spears. Well, I wouldn't consider him in the level of Skoronski and Levis. Over 800 yards from scrimmage is pretty impressive. Especially splitting time with Derrick Henry back there. So those three, I think, there's plenty of potential there. Josh Wiley and Jalen Duncan, I think you could at least see some potential, but we didn't really see enough to say that they're going to be a factor going forward. So there's kind of still wild cards there. Colton Dowell, he didn't do much, but he's a late round draft pick that had played on special teams and contributed anyway. And you can't really say that about all the players in recent drafts that were taken in the late rounds as well, too. So when you compare what happened, what Rand Carthen did last year, to say the last 3 years, the big impact guys we're looking at over the past 3 years are Roger McCreary, Christian Fulton, who's obviously no longer even with the team. Those are the top guys, and then you're really searching for others. Is it Elijah Molden? Is it Rashad Weaver? There's plenty of guys that are gone, and the ones that are still around, guys like Dylan Raidens, some other guys on this list, the Kyle Phillips and Nicholas Petit-Frere, are guys that have underachieved or underperformed so far. So maybe it's a low bar, but I like what Rand Carthen did in his first go round here.
Yeah, I think the most remarkable thing that Tajae Spears did was that by the end of the season, he made Titans fans somewhat comfortable with the idea that Derrick Henry would be gone. I mean, just imagine how you would feel right now about the Titans situation if you hadn't seen what Tajae Spears did last year. I mean that everybody it was sort of a nice you've seen all the tributes online and social media and Henry saying thank you and all those sorts of things. It was sort of a everybody knew it was time to move on, and as much as they could be, Titans fans were comfortable with that idea, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that they like what they saw from Tajae Spears. And now, of course, they've added Tony Pollard, which is interesting. We talk about how Snead and Awuzie are the same type of player at corner, whereas Spears and Henry were sort of complementary pieces. Pollard and Spears are the same kind of guy, and I think it speaks to a real philosophical coaching change here. And this is kind of off the topic, but it strikes me, the Titans are going to be, or they're going to try to be, what they want to be. They're not going to try to be all things. And I think sometimes under Mike Vrabel, they got a little too caught up in thinking we need to be so versatile. We need to be able to do this, that, or the other thing depending on what the other team is doing. I think these Titans under Brian Callahan are, they're identifying traits they want, the attributes they want in their schemes, and they're going to say these are the things we're going to do. But to your point, John, about Skowronski, Levis, and Spears, it is remarkable if you go back and look how infrequently this franchise has hit on serious contributors in the first, second, and third rounds of a single draft. Now 2019 was particularly good in that regard with Jeffrey Simmons in the first round, AJ Brown in the second, and then Nate Davis in the third. Certainly you would have liked to have had AJ around longer, but it certainly that was a success from the first three rounds there. 2016, John Robinson's first draft, you got Jack Conklin in the first round, Derrick Henry in the second, Kevin Byard in the third, but you also missed on 2 second round picks there. That was a real missed opportunity. And beyond that, I mean, you gotta really look to find a draft that produced really good quality contributors to this team in each of the first three rounds. It just doesn't happen very often, or at least it hasn't happened very often here in Tennessee, which is an odd thing to think. But just from that aspect alone, I think if you don't get much of anything from Wiley and Duncan and Dowell from here on out, the track that those first three guys are on makes you feel really good about what you got from this group. And As we wrap this thing up, we should point out we started with L'Jarius Sneed. Let's end with L'Jarius Sneed in that the Houston Texans continue to make moves, and their latest is acquiring wide receiver Stephon Diggs from Buffalo. I would assume that Sneed and Diggs know each other well from the Chiefs and Bills matchups the last couple years, but how big a challenge is Houston looking to be for the Titans right now, John?
Pretty significant when you look at their personnel right now. You're looking at obviously CJ Stroud was tremendous, 4,000 yards and 23 touchdowns as a rookie. You got Joe Mixon, your running back. You got Diggs. You got Nico Collins, who was like 1,300 yards last year. Tank Dell was on pace to go over 1,000. Dalton Schultz, is an excellent tight end. So you've got plenty of options there. As we said, even better for the Titans now that they have Snead, because let's look at what Snead did last year, shut down Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Diggs, A.J. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, and the list goes on. And especially against Diggs, last two times he faced him last year, total of seven catches for 45 yards for Diggs, no touchdowns against L'Jarius Snead. So Titans have to be thanking themselves even more now that Diggs is going to be facing them twice a year.
Yeah, those are very un-Stefon Diggs-like numbers, but that'll do it for this episode of the Believe in Titans. We will leave on that happy note, I guess. So until next week, John, we'll talk to you then.
Sounds good.
And thank you all for listening, as always, to Believe in Titans.